ESPN 97.5, presented by Zadot Jewelers.
KFNC 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Don't sweat the technique.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
He's Blank, I'm Branham. We're the Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Come on out for the Space Cowboys game on June 27th for ESPN 97.5, 92.5 nights. Our listeners can get tickets for just $9.25 by entering promo code ESPN 925. Come watch the future of the Astros with us and see if any of our hosts will embarrass themselves throwing out the first pitch like last year. Joey Loperfido hasn't played the last two games, by the way. Somebody told me on Twitter that he jammed a hand sliding into third, so I went back and watched that game.
Okay.
You can see him kind of head first slide on a triple, and then he's immediately like shaking his hand.
Yeah. That's not a good thing, especially because they're looking at probably bringing him up as soon as he's eligible to be brought up.
Yeah. So, I mean, hopefully it's just like precautionary, like jam finger, no big deal. But Friday night, on a triple in the sixth inning, head first slide into third, and he's kind of shaking his hand. And he did have his final at bat in the eighth inning, grounded out, but has not played in the last two games. Hopefully precautionary. Didn't leave the game with an injury, but you can tell he's banged up, and he hasn't played since Friday night.
They can't catch a break, man. I mean, they just keep coming out of the woodwork with injuries and things happening all season long, it seems.
Yeah, it does. Rory McIlroy yesterday is being deemed a choker. Bryson DeChambeau wins his second U.S. Open. Live golfer Bryson DeChambeau wins the U.S. Open. What are your takeaways from yesterday's final round?
My first take, look, credit to Bryson DeChambeau. And I think that Bryson DeChambeau has... One, he's solidified the fact that he's one of the best golfers on the planet. But more importantly, he's completely restructured and done a complete re-image campaign to where people love him and they adore him and they're behind him. The bigger thing to me is that I don't care if Rory's a choker or not, but just own it. I mean, to me, the biggest thing was, look, you basically peed down your leg at the Masters starting on the 10th tee a couple years ago, but you owned it and you talked about it and you were able to admit it. Greg Norman had a massive choke job at the Masters. He owned it. He talked about it. Phil Mickelson hit a concession stand on the 16th tee to basically blow a U.S. Open. He talked about it. The fact that Rory sat there and watched it all unfold at the end of the tournament and then essentially act like he was five. It was kind of like the reverse of Bryson DeChambeau, who went from kind of immature to a mature champion. Rory, 7 minutes or whatever they said, they clocked him after he got out of the scorer's tent, watching how it all unfolded and DeChambeau saving par. He like got in the car, squealed the tires, pulled out of the parking lot, refused to talk to the media. I think it's a bad look. I think it's horrible, and I think the fact that you also, from the standpoint of you want people to try and forget about those kind of moments, those things, this just magnifies everything.
I saw the tweet that he like peeled out of the parking lot or whatever, and then I watched the video of it, and it was the worst tweet I've ever seen in my life. He backed up, he went forward. Like he didn't screech out of the parking lot. I saw the tweet that you're referring to, and then I watched the video, and it's not like
I watched the video. I mean, he wasn't exactly crawling out of the parking lot. He didn't squeal the tires. He was moving to get out of there.
I mean, he backed up and then went forward. Like, but to your point, like, that's not really the point. The point is that he ran, like, a little whenever he lost the golf. Mm-hmm. I agree with that completely.
Now, let me ask you this,
he's a soft boy.
But the thing that I also was going to ask you, if does it factor in or not? But the other thing is, here's a guy that hasn't been afraid to stand up. And one of the things he stood up for is the PGA Tour. And he was outspoken on all those things. A live golfer wins it. And someone that also has been known to be you think that had something to do with him running?
No, I think it was the fact that he choked.
Yeah. I mean, he hadn't missed a 3-foot putter less all year long, and he missed two.
Yeah, it was like 435 in a row or something like that.
It was a big number.
It's disappointing because, look, he should have talked to the media. The fact that he didn't talk to the media makes him super soft. I don't think the live thing has anything to do with it because I think they're actually trying to figure out a way to marry the two back together again. And Rory shot a 69 yesterday. Rory was three shots back entering the final round. Like, not many golfers were sub 70 yesterday, and he was right there. And he took the lead. He had the 2-shot lead. Now DeChambeau had that birdie hole coming up, the drivable par 4. The way that I look at Rory's performance yesterday, yes, after round, absolutely should be talking to media. That was a very soft boy. But his round yesterday was like a tale of two stories, because through 14 holes, that was one of the greatest comeback performances in major history, in U.S. Open history. We're looking at Rory McIlroy's greatest triumphant final round in his major career, coming from behind on a Sunday, through 14 holes, looked like he's going to cruise his way to victory. So, like, the first 14 holes, Rory was unbelievable. One of the greatest golf stories in recent memories. The last four holes, he gave it away. Bogeying three of the last four holes, like, okay, it's Pinehurst number two, is very difficult. That's not the worst thing in the world. It's not the fact that he bogeyed three of the last four holes. It's the fact that he missed two short 3-foot-ish putts when he never misses short 3-foot-ish putts.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is what's the worst that can happen if you do the press conference and you talk about it? You don't have to say you missed some putts, right? But, I mean, you don't have to answer anything you don't want to answer. You're right. It was a good enough performance to say, hey, I gave it my best effort. My putter just wasn't there at the end of the round. This happened, that happened. Okay. If you're afraid that they're going to ask you about your marriage and the divorce and everything like that, you can just say, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about golf. It's not going to be a problem. But it just, everything gets exacerbated and blown way up because of the fact that he didn't talk.
Yeah.
Because you're right. He played his tail off and he was in it yet again. So the last two U.S. Opens, he's lost both of them, and lost both of them by one shot. There's nothing to like. Schauffele was the guy that took a lot of a beating. He's in tons. He's winning tournaments. He's doing everything.
He hasn't been winning majors.
The majors, it's been 10 years.
It's been like 10 years. Yeah. Like, I saw the days. It's been like over, I guess 10 years adds up to that. It's been almost like 3,700 days since his last major. So, I mean, he's feeling it. You can tell that he's feeling it. And you can tell that he was feeling it on those two short putt misses. Texter 713-780-ESPN. Bryson won it more than Rory choked. See, I disagree with that. And he says, DeChambeau is up and down from the bunker on 18 was incredible. It was incredible. But that was to save par.
Right.
Like, that was to save par after an errant tee shot. It was very unlucky he hit that dude, the little usher guy, and then it nestled up against the root. But Bryson should have needed at least birdie on 18. If Rory McIlroy makes
one of them,
putt, just one of the two. And Bryson DeChambeau missed a 3-footer. Well, it was probably on 14 or so.
15, I think, yeah.
That was a bunny as well. So, like, Bryson also had one short miss. Rory had two short misses. And, yes, Bryson DeChambeau's up and down from that bunker from about, 60 yards away. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. But Rory McIlroy missed 2 3-footers in the last four holes and bogeyed three of the last four.
The other thing that I'm going to say that debunks that whole thing about, DeChambeau wanted it more, he couldn't hit a fairway on the backside.
Yeah, he was errant.
He could not. Now, he did, and I don't know that this had an impact or not, but if you saw it, one of his last drives on the driving range, or his last drive on the driving range, he dented in the face of his driver going to number one. So he switched out the driver head real quick going to one. But he couldn't hit a fairway seemingly all day. And he was in that natural grass area all the time. He caught some good breaks. The scramble and the par on 18 was extremely impressive. But I'm not going to sit there and tell you that Rory McIlroy gave it away with his putter late. But the only reason why he had a chance to give it away late, because he played his tail off all day long to build at one point a 2-shot lead.
That's why I broke it down into two different stories. Because, I mean, through 14 holes, he was unbelievable. But those last four holes, he choked. Like, he choked.
You can't spin it any other way. I mean, plus
496. He was 496 for 496 putting inside 3 feet this season before that miss, and he had two around 3 feet. Like, he's almost perfect. He's almost 100%. And like, the first one was pretty straight in, and he just yanked it left. Like, he choked. He choked in those final four holes.
The second one to me was his miss. It was all on him, though, too, because that putt, and the fact that you have to be below the hole.
Yep.
And the way they got those greens doctored up and the speed, and then they dried out, the safest, best, most sure thing for a guy that even has a sure thing, as you said, is to be below the hole so you can just slam it in the middle of the cup and move on.
Yeah, my buddy who thinks he knows about golf but really doesn't was saying the same thing. Like, his crime there was that he was above the hole, not below the hole. There was somebody who posted a picture, too, of, like, Rory's putt. Like, look at that. Like, look at his putter. It's, like, all shaky and, like, above the ball. Like, is there a bigger stat, though, than 496 straight putts made inside 3 feet, and then you miss two. It'd be like, who's the best free throw shooter right now in basketball? Like, it used to be Calvin Murphy. It used to be
Steph,
Aduro, who you've probably, like, Steph was who I was going to. Like, this is game seven NBA finals. You're up by 2 points, and you nick the brick Anderson the final two free throws. It would be a guy who's perfect all year long. All year long, he misses two free throws. Would we be calling that a choke if the other team runs down the floor, hits a three to win the game?
Hell yeah.
Yes, we would.
Yep.
Rory McIlroy in the final four holes, choked away the U.S. Open, a major championship, and has failed to win a major in the last decade of his career. This texter saying, Rory's a soft, bad word boy. He wanted to complain about Liv to every camera and sneaks out after this weekend's choke job. That's your point. You got to address the media there.
You just have to. And from the standpoint of missing the two putts, too, it's one thing if you say over the course of 18 holes, he choked off a couple of putts. He choked off two putts within a 3 to 4 hole span when it literally was the difference between walking out a champion, erasing that streak, winning another major, telling everybody that you can compete with Scottie Scheffler as the best golfer in the world this year, and being labeled exactly what we a choker, a complete inability to close the deal, and then start pointing fingers at all the different things otherwise that he has going on too when he's been playing really good golf.
409 Josh, it'd be interesting to see the live odds through Rory's round yesterday. That would be a roller coaster because he's probably minus 300 at its best.
Well, when he went up two on the back nine,
now Bryson
midway
did have
through
a birdie hole. The Bryson had that drivable par four, which was like an easy birdie hole yesterday. So like yes, he had a 2-shot lead. But that was after Rory got through the easy par four, and DeChambeau was about to tee off the easy par four.
But it probably went up after that no matter what, because remember, DeChambeau was the first one to choke off the short one. So yep. Now he's got the lead, and DeChambeau chokes off a short one. I would imagine that was as high as the odds were on the back nine.
I'm pretty sure that was, I think that was 12. I think DeChambeau missed the short putt on 12 to bogey, and then he came back with that birdie on 13,
okay,
which was the short par four. But yeah, it was a 2-shot lead at one point. It was a 2-shot lead. Rory, because that's what it was. Rory was leaving 13 after he birdied. DeChambeau just bogeyed 12, 2-shot lead, and then DeChambeau birdied the easy, drivable par four on 13, made it a 1-shot deficit, and then Rory choked down the stretch. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Yesterday was Father's Day. Blankers has a story. And also, who are the famous, infamous sports fathers of our time? Who are the most famous, most infamous sports fathers of our time? 713-780-ESPN. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I hope that all of you took advantage of that Father's Day special going on right now at Texas Star Grill Shop, the Father's Day Mega Sale. Don't worry, though. The sale ends June 30th, so still nearly 2 weeks to take advantage of the Father's Day Mega Sale. Maybe you're one that shops after Father's Day. Well, here you go. Father's Day Mega Sale at Texas Star Grill Shop. The best grill prices at the best price. How about this? Huge sales on all top grills. Free delivery in Greater Houston. Listen to these savings. $500 savings on Traeger. $800 on Blaze. $900 on Weber. $300 on the Gosney pizza ovens. $200 savings on Napoleon. And huge package deals on the Big Green Egg. You can't beat these prices. Huge truckload sale on Franklin barbecue pits as well. You can save up to $1,000. Texas Star Grill Shop, special partnership with the one and only Aaron Franklin. That's how they get this incredible deal. Also, Texas Star Grill Shop's the best place for outdoor kitchen. They offer free design services for these outdoor kitchens, which are awesome. It's like moving your inside kitchen to the outside. They provide all the components you need, from top-of-the-line grills, sleek cabinetry, to outdoor refrigerators, side burners, sink stations, bar centers, everything that you need. It's amazing. We mentioned those Gosney pizza ovens, $300 savings on those bad boys. These are unbelievable. Imagine crafting restaurant-quality pizza, succulent steaks, perfectly roasted vegetables right in your backyard. These Gosney pizza ovens, built to commercial specs, they can use gas, wood, charcoal, and they can reach temperatures up to 950 degrees with a thick stone floor for optimal cooking. This Father's Day and after the Father's Day, treat Dad to something special. Sale ends June 30th. Visit TexasStarGrillShop.com. It's TexasStarGrillShop.com or join the club at 975grills.com for the best barbecue grills at the best price.
ESPN 97.5.
Now back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Happy Father's Day to all of you. For all of the kids that you know or maybe don't know about. I was watching the some Young Thug testimony from that court case. I'm glued to this. It's fascinating. They asked one of Young Thug's, I think former friends, I don't think they're friends anymore, the opposing attorney was asking him, I guess, in cross, how many kids he had. He was like, more than one.
Wow. Didn't want to answer that.
Sounds like Antonio Cromartie.
He goes, more than one. So
Sean Kemp.
Who are the most infamous, famous fathers in sports that we know? We'll get to that in a second. But you tipped us off that you had a pretty special moment yesterday with one of the daughters or both of the daughters?
One of them. Well,
the other one's lousy and not any good.
No, and honestly, the bad part is that my youngest actually kind of chimed in at the end, too, and said, Daddy, are you proud of me and all this stuff, too? But I'm going to try and say this as quick as I can.
It doesn't need to be quick.
It was a pretty emotional weekend for me.
He said it doesn't break down on the air.
That's exactly, and that's why
I said it doesn't need to be quick. Let's see those tears flow.
No, I'm not going to lie. I mean, my family means everything, and my kids do. And, you know, I've been coaching this softball team just to spend more time with my daughter, and she loves softball. And it was their last tournament of the year. And they played, and the fact is that before the game, I was telling the kids, hey, look, you know, just it's the last tournament of the year. Just make it your best. Try as hard as you can. We haven't finished higher than third in a tournament. Let's go out and play our best softball. And lo and behold, they get to the semifinals playing all day. And in the semifinal game, Tay has two extra base hits, four RBIs, and the last one came with two outs in the last inning to get in the runs that end up winning the game. So they have this, it's really cool. They have a rally chain like they do in the dugouts in baseball, and it's got they're called the Trash Pandas, and they have a big panda on it, and she gets that. And it was the first time all year that she got it. She was really pumped. So they play in the championship game against Pearland, who is just loaded. They're phenomenal. They're a machine in softball. And it was a great game back and forth. And in the last inning, we end up being down three, and it's our last at bat. And we get two outs right away. And I was like, well, it was a good year. At least we'll finish second. It's really cool. And two girls get on, and then another girl gets an extra base hit. And it ends up coming down to a girl hits a dribbler, and I'm like, there's the season. Taylor's on deck. And the girl kicks it at second base, and now we got first and third, two outs. Taylor comes up, and everyone's yelling. And there's a ton of people there, and both sides have a ton of parents and people on hand. And she'd been in the situation before, and she wasn't really keen on how much pressure there was. And coaches are yelling at her, and everybody's yelling at her. And the coach that pitches to her kind of started talking to her, and I was like, oh, God, I can't have this. And I haven't talked to her all year. During the game, I just want her to be here and coached by the other coaches. And I called time, and I walked down the first baseline, and I looked at her, and she looked like a deer in the headlights a little bit. And I said, hey, understand this. Dinner's on me wherever you want to go. Just hit it hard. And she had this big smile on her face, and she started laughing. And I was like, okay, I did everything that I could do. Let me get out of the way. And on the very first pitch, she hit the farthest ball I've ever seen her hit in my life. And it scored the winning run. I ran out and carried her off from second base. I apologized to the coaches. I was like, hey, man, I'm sorry. That was my kid. And the coach goes, I'd have done the same thing with my kid an inning earlier. I'm good. And it was the kids all said they did it for Father's Day. And to see that and to be able to say that. And then our coach walked up to me and he put his arm around me and he goes, I got something for you. And he slid the game ball into my hand. And he said, put that somewhere special. And I said, I certainly will.
That's sweet.
It was awesome.
Who did y'all play?
Pearland.
They choked. They choked. That second baseman committed the error. They choked.
They have a really good team, and they have a long history of really good players.
That's good. That's a good story. Happy you got to experience that. And congratulations to your daughter. Did they get rings?
They do.
Nice.
Yeah, they got rings and it took all the pictures and had all the fun with it. And of course, you know, everybody's like, where's she going? Vic and Anthony's. Is she going?
Oh, yeah. What'd you pick?
She goes, hey, Dad, can I just go to McDonald's and get the 10 piece instead of the I go, yes, absolutely, you can. So that on the way home, we got her McDonald's, and she was a happy camper.
Well, since you got off light, you can take Brian and I to dinner, Vic and Anthony's tonight, since you got off light to that.
Yeah.
We give you moments like that each and every day.
Yeah. They were Rockets. Brian remembers they're even bigger sponsors of the Rockets.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So who are the most famous, infamous fathers in sports. Yesterday, of course, Father's Day. A couple of the texts are taking this in a direction I didn't expect. Josh from Seabrook, if we're talking about sports dad, Michael Jordan's dad, Tiger Woods' dad, tops the list.
I had five that were like that. I had Earl Woods, LeVar Ball, Richard Williams, the Williams sister's dad, MJ's dad, and then the kind of wild card was Todd Marinovich's dad because he was the one that made him like do nothing but like work out and eat engineered foods from the time that he was like born, and then once he made it, he went off the deep end.
You have four of the names on my list you just named.
Who were they?
The four names.
Did you have any that weren't?
Yeah, I added Archie Manning and Buddy Ryan.
Oh, okay. Did y'all say LeVar Ball?
Yeah,
I did.
6036 says Deion Sanders, of course, the most annoying person of all time. He said LeVar. He said LeBron. LeBron.
He's on his way.
And he said the guy that got Mike Leach fired for locking his kid in a closet. That was Craig James.
Yes, it was Craig James.
Which Craig James did some bad things to the woman of the streets that one time.
He killed five hookers.
Did he really?
No.
That's the old. The old story.
That's how Mike Leach used to sign his books.
Yeah. That's right. I forgot that he signed his books
He didn't actually write it out. He just did the abbreviation.
He did bad things to the women of the street. 2851, thanks for the story. Now you have me crying. Tug McGraw, he was the McGraw.
He was a relief pitcher for the Phillies and the Mets.
I don't know what his father's story is, though.
Well, his son is Tim McGraw. Yeah.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't know that.
Tug McGraw has the famous line, too, of like why he didn't like AstroTurf. He says, you can't smoke turf.
Oh, really?
Tug McGraw is the famous.
He always had
there.
A big chaw in his mouth when he pitched, too.
Did he really?
Yeah.
It makes sense. Somebody else said Tug McGraw. I think what's ironic here is Tim McGraw, I want to say, played the mean dad on
Friday Night Lights.
Yep. That was Tim McGraw, right?
Sure was.
Yeah. So I don't know if Tug McGraw was mean to his kid. I don't know. I'll have to look that up. See, I was thinking more along the lines of, like, we're all great fathers here, I think. Mm-hmm. Brian, myself, you. I have two kids. You have two kids. Brian, you have one.
One.
So, like, combined, we have five. So, like, we're all good fathers, but we're not fathers as many times as some others.
Oh, you're going
like
that route.
Philip Rivers. Like, Philip Rivers, he might not be that good of a dad,
but if he's
an okay dad to all 10 of his kids, I think he passes us up. So, Philip Rivers, to me, on this list, I mean, volume matters here. We're going for a scoring title. Philip Rivers, 10 children. He's one away from fielding one side of the football.
Yeah.
Philip Rivers.
Sean Kemp was the Sports Illustrated cover
with all
representative
his kids?
For all the kids.
I didn't know how many kids he has. How about Antonio Cromartie?
Oh, yeah.
You want to take a guess on how many kids Antonio Cromartie has?
Well, he might not tell you we were right or wrong because he forgot him on Hard Knock.
I went back and watched that today. He gets too much blame for that. He actually names them all. It just takes a while because he has a lot.
I thought he forgot one of them.
No, he kind of struggles with one, but he goes right through it.
Okay.
He just kind of pauses, but he doesn't forget
He gets too much criticism for that. He named all of his kids. It just took him a long period of time because he has multiple
double digits?
Kids. Yes. Whew. He's in double digits. He has more than Philip Rivers. He has 14 kids. Antonio Cromartie has 14 kids. Karl Malone, at least seven. I think Malone's got more than seven.
He also doesn't. He's not very good at being supportive to all of them.
Either. No. I'm gonna guess
Karl
more
Malone's
than seven.
Malone's got a lot of issues going on.
Yes, he does.
Over under seven for Karl Malone.
Okay.
Over.
Yeah.
I think it's over.
Because Cheryl Ford played in the WNBA, and I think that was one of the children that he disowned originally.
Oof.
But then when she made the WNBA, that he was more supportive.
It's crazy.
Bag. Scumbag.
And then the last one that I have down here is Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill is like the modern day OG Karl Malone. He's now going to be a father to 10 kids with four different women.
And it wasn't two at the same time?
I think so.
That's how the one fiance left him because she found out about the other one that was pregnant at the same time?
I think there's been quite a few that have overlapped,
I think there's also one. Current Houston Rocket that has that deal
we're forgetting
going on.
An OG Houston Rocket, too, that's got a lot of kids.
Who's
I was going to let you guys mention
Calvin
that.
Murphy.
Yeah. Does Calvin have lots of kids?
He's got, like, what, 20-something?
No, not that many, Brian. And unfortunately, when he went through the court case, he found out, unfortunately, after supporting them, that several were not his.
He lost a couple.
Well, that is a statement in itself. You got so many kids that you don't know which ones you have.
More than one.
You have to find out in court
how many
which ones are yours.
7212 says Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard's got a few. Bum Phillips. He says the Von Erich dad. Von Erich did have a lot of kids.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah.
Larry Zerline. I do. How many Zerline? I think there's only two, though, right?
Well, there's Mike and Lance, and who's the other
one? Lance has got a lot of kids himself, right?
He's got like four or five. Lance has four?
Four or five,
I think he had two.
Four or five, no.
Yeah, he's got one going to Alabama.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I think Lance has five.
He's got two or three at home. I think he has four or five kids, Lance does.
I have a favorite Zerline and a least favorite Zerline. 1322 says O.J. Simpson. O.J. Simpson took the dive for his son. And Chloe. Chloe does exist. A lot of people think that Chloe might be daughter of O.J. Simpson. George Foreman, lots of kids named George. I went to preschool with one of George Foreman's sons.
George.
Yeah, his name was George. Yeah. I think it was the third one, though. Okay. I think it was George, the learning tree.
How many Georges are there?
I think like seven or eight. I have no idea. I really don't know.
It's north of five, but I couldn't remember exactly
I think
how
he
many.
Has daughters named Georgia, daughters. Though, and Georgietta, maybe?
Yeah. I thought it was Georgina, but either
You're
way,
probably
it's,
right.
it's Georgish.
His one son went to Rice. George Foreman had
12.
12 kids. Wow.
He's got Frida. He's got Georgita. He's got Natalie.
Georgita. Okay.
If you're Natalie, do you feel left out?
No, he probably just ran out of Georges.
I think you feel lucky that you didn't have to have a George name if there's Georgita and all the Georges.
There were six Georges.
Wow.
Like George Jr., George III, and George all the way up to six. And they had nicknames for them, though. Monk, Big Will, Red, Little Joey. The nicknames for all the other Georges.
One of them got into sports, the business side of sports. I don't know if he was going to be an agent or what, but I know he went to Rice.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right, so those are all the great fathers or infamous fathers in sports history. 713-780-ESPN. Mailbag Monday. What's your question for the Killer Bees? Ask us whatever you want. Mailbag Monday with the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, a word from a good friend, Doc Linville. Doc Linville, best in the business at the NeoGraft procedure. Look, if you've got issues and you're losing your hair, you have thinning spots, balding spots, you don't think there's anything you can do about it, you don't want to do the whole sprays and creams and foams that just mask the problem, but you don't trust that there's anything out there that actually is a true solution to the problem, I'm here to tell you about the NeoGraft and Doc Linville because it is. And even PRP, before you have to go to the full NeoGraft, is a solution. It's not a gimmick. It's actually all natural. From the standpoint of PRP, you've heard it used with joint therapy in the past. But PRP can also stimulate the growth, like fertilizing your lawn, to get you thicker, stronger, better hair follicles. It's phenomenal. And if the hair is already so far gone because there's not enough follicles to do the PRP, you can do the NeoGraft procedure, and that is a game changer as well. That's what I did. That's when he takes some of the hair from the sides and the back of your head where genetically I found out you're never going to lose your hair, and he puts it where you need it most, primarily in the front on your hairline or the bald spot that some guys get up on top and back. But the bottom line is it works, and the procedure to me was painless. And it's actually fairly quick in terms of the time that you give for the results that you get. And you'll see the follicles the very next day. You'll see them in the mirror. And you'll know that they're getting set and they're going to start to grow. 6 to 9 months later, you see the full results. And because he's taking them from spots where you're never going to lose your hair, it's going to be there for the rest of your life. And you are going to love the way you look. And you're going to love your appearance again and have more self-confidence. Phenomenal. And because you listen to us, you get a free consultation with Doc Linville's office. And you can get all the information on the NeoGraft. And you don't have to pay a thing. Most people off the street pay $150 just to sit down and ask questions, get answers, and learn about the procedure. You get it for free because you listen to us just by going to 975hair.com. Go there to 975hair.com. Schedule an appointment. Nothing out of pocket. No commitment to be made. No signing on the dotted line. Just you getting answers to your questions and getting an explanation as to what it is to see if you'd be interested in doing it. I did it. Couldn't be happier with it. I recommend that you do it, too, if you're losing your hair. Check them out today. Go to 975hair.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Mail call!
It's a Mailbag Monday with the Killer Bees.
You've got mail.
What's your question for the Killer Bees? 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. Real quick, I did child support for 22 years for the state of Texas. There was an elderly gentleman in Jasper County with over 50 children on state assistance.
50.
Had to have been elderly. Couldn't have been young, I don't think. 50.
Wow.
That's a lot. Wonder how many mamas.
If you were to guess, close to 50.
No. I would say like 10.
I'd go higher. I would set an over-under of like 22.
Yeah, I'd be 25.
Let me see what he looks like first. Is he a handsome fella or?
Apparently good enough.
50 times. 713-780-ESPN. What's your question for the Killer Bees? Pena, what's your question for the Bees?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Happy Father's Day to y'all. So I was with my brother this weekend, and we were talking about basketball. And this question came up, so I want to ask y'all. You got to start one, bench one, cut one, and delete one from the whole entire NBA, everything. LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Steph Curry, Michael Jordan. Thank y'all. Have a great day.
LeBron, Steph.
Michael, Kobe. Well, I'm starting Michael.
Start, cut, bench?
And delete, one,
and
from
delete one from NBA exists.
So start, cut, bench, and delete one?
Yes.
So four. Okay.
Good night. That's ridiculously hard. I'm going to say I don't like cut, delete one from the NBA. Start Michael for sure. I'm going to sit Kobe. I'm going to cut LeBron and I'm going to eliminate Steph. I hate this question cuz I wouldn't want to eliminate Steph and I like Steph.
I'm going to delete Steph. I like Steph too, but I'm going to delete Steph because I think the Rockets win a title.
So all three.
I think the Rockets win a title.
That's a good point too. Yeah.
Like if I delete Steph, I think the Rockets win a title. So I'm going to delete Steph. Rockets lost some series to Kobe. Quite a few. So I'm going to cut Kobe because this helps the Rockets. I'll start Jordan because it didn't matter. Like the Rockets never played Jordan in the playoffs, so it didn't matter. Like even if Jordan was gone, the Rockets never got to a final outside, you know, of the years that Jordan was either gone or came back late in the year. So I'll start Jordan. I will bench. Who did that leave me with? LeBron.
LeBron.
Nah, I just hate LeBron though. I'll bench Kobe. I'll cut LeBron and I'll delete Steph because if I delete Steph, Rockets get another title.
We're 4-for-4 in agreement then. Yeah, so I have the exact same thing.
Yeah, I don't like LeBron. I don't like LeBron. So I have to get him out of there.
There's a lot of antics I don't care for.
All right, good stuff. Delete LeBron. What a wonderful world if he never existed. That's a little bit too far. Jeez. Ooh, 9506. I think that's too mean for mean text, 9506. Like, I'm legitimately not going to read that one, 9506.
Are you actually not going to read it?
I'm actually not going to read that one.
Then say you don't.
This might be Killer Bees After Hours with this one, 95. Okay. You should be ashamed of yourself saying that at 4:38. That should be after a few pops at like 7:38, 8:38, maybe even like 9:38. Unbelievable. 6860, had this conversation at work today. You get $100 million, but you have to lose one. Sight, hearing, taste, or smell. I guess you could choose none, but you wouldn't get the $100 million.
Technically, you can't lose your taste and smell. They're tied in, aren't they?
I mean, it's a hypothetical question.
I know. I'm just asking. Okay, I'm entitled to ask for the specifics of the accuracy of it.
I'm not sure. I don't know the answer to that.
I think I would take smell.
I want to
because if I, as long as I can still taste,
I'm with you.
I'll take smell.
Are we all in agreement? You're obviously keeping sight and hearing.
And hearing,
right?
Correct.
You're keeping those, so it's down to smell and taste.
I like to eat too much.
Right. I would keep taste and get rid of smell.
I guess the downside of smell is you couldn't smell hazardous things that could kill you. But you could get like alarms in place for that, or just make sure that there's somebody
like the carbon monoxide alarms,
or make sure that there's somebody that like lives with you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That can smell it. Yeah, I think the easy answer is smell. Like, I can't lose my sight, can't lose my hearing. Losing taste would stink, but I'd be okay. Like, I could be okay. Like, in fact, there are some benefits of losing taste, because now you can just eat healthy. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So there's that part of it. Yeah, I would go smell, no doubt. The guy said it was 30 children, by the way, or 30 mamas.
Woo!
Of the 50 kids, there was 30
mamas.
We
all went way under.
30 baby mamas. That's a lot. Okay. Question for the B, 713-780-ESPN. Would Jose Abreu mound visits have saved us from giving up 10 runs in 3 innings? It's a weird question.
Yeah.
Jose Abreu mound visits?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought he was going to make the joke with Carlos Correa mound visits. I don't know where the Abreu thing comes from.
Yeah, I think it's something to say like we're blaming the wrong guy maybe. Maybe it's the defense. Like, I've seen a lot of that. Jose Abreu, cutting him's not going to fix anything. No, but it fixes first base a little bit. Makes first base
fixes
a little bit better.
Spot in the lineup a little bit.
A little bit.
Singleton had a two-knock game this weekend, didn't he?
409, Josh, would you rather be one of 12 kids or an only child?
I'll take the only child. 12 kids in the house?
I'd probably go only child, too.
You're fighting for everything.
Don't divide what you're going to inherit amongst 11 other children.
Plus,
be the only kid.
Or just like dinner.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not even worried about it. I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about you're fighting for everything from bathroom time to food to
TV.
Everything in between. Yeah.
Yeah. 12's a lot. I'd rather be the only an only child, too. Not the 12. What's your Chick-fil-A order?
I'll either do... I love their nuggets. So I would go with the... What's the... They don't do a 20-piece. They do a 30-piece, I think.
Yeah.
It's 8, I think 12, and then there's a big one, but 30, I don't know.
Yeah, I'll do the 30-piece nuggets and fries would be my first go-to.
Sheesh.
That's your regular order?
No, not regular. I don't go there very often. Oh. But if I do, it'd either be 2 spicy chicken sandwiches and fries, or it would be the...
No, I didn't know you put it down like that.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
30?
I was not expecting that.
When we like won Stoots. That bet. When we won that bet with the guys that used to own this slot. It was with Connor and Beard. We won the Connor and Beard. I didn't even do the fries. I just did the nuggets.
It depends on how fat I'm feeling. If I'm not feeling super fat, I'll just get the 12 count nuggets, usually with barbecue. But if I want the sandwich, I usually go 8-piece nugget with a spicy chicken sandwich on the side.
Yeah, I love the spicy chicken sandwich. I go spicy chicken sandwich, fries, but with the Chick-fil-A dipping sauce on the side.
You dip
the fries into it.
Okay. See, I like dipping the fries into the barbecue sauce. But I like dipping
the Chick-fil-A sauce is addictive.
Here might be a very hot take, but we were coming back from a tournament and we ordered Chick-fil-A. I was very disappointed in their chicken strips. I love the nuggets. I love the sandwich. The strips are very overrated, and they come in a small box. They're not real true strips.
Yeah, I tried them for the first time the other day too. Kind of ironically, I thought they were fine. They're very different than the nuggets.
Small, but, and I didn't think they were full strips.
Like, I think they taste good, but yeah, I was a little surprised.
Yeah, I didn't. I wasn't a big fan.
I'll dip the spicy chicken sandwich into some ranch.
I'm not a big ranch guy.
Do that. 0113, would you take a dream trade package from the Dodgers or the Yankees for Kyle Tucker?
I mean, they both have pretty good systems, right? I mean, what's the dream package?
I mean, you're getting somebody really, really good, I guess.
Is it just farm system or is it current player?
Yeah.
I think they're both the same.
I'll take it from the Dodgers.
So the answer is yes. You would take one from the Yankees.
I know we have the alternative of not taking it because
would you take a dream package from the Dodgers or the Yankees for Tucker? Like, he's basically saying, would you be willing to trade Tucker to the Dodgers or Yankees?
No.
Yeah, me is an easy yes. Easy yes. I don't care about other teams. I care about my front porch. I don't care about anybody else's front porch. If I get a sweetheart, you're stupid trade offer from the Dodgers or the Yankees, yeah, cool. You can have Tucker, and I'm going to go fix my porch, and I'm going to go win a World Series before you do. I hate the whole mantra of, I'm not going to trade with rivals. No, you win the trade.
But there's no guarantee
trade
that
with
you
rivals
would
win and win the trade.
There's no guarantee you'd win the World Series quicker than they do, because if you give them Tucker and they're already loaded, mm-hmm. now it sucks because you're not going to be as good without Tucker. But while you're trying to get back to being good, you give them a better chance to win the World Series.
I don't care who wins the World Series if it's not me. I really don't. Like the Rangers won the World Series last year, and a lot of people were like hurt by that. They're Astro fans. I couldn't care less. Cool. Go play in your parade. I'm just not going to pay attention to you. A lot of people are a little different. But yeah, I would trade. If the Yankees or Dodgers gave me a sweetheart, you're stupid if you don't take this trade for Kyle Tucker, I would absolutely do that. No problem. No problem at all. Favorite golf course in the city?
Carlton Woods.
Mine's Deerwood.
I love Deerwood, too.
7869, if Astros fired Espada, who should be their coach the rest of the season? Manager?
Lopez.
Yeah, Omar Lopez. Or you can just go full 2005 and bring Phil Garner back.
Nope.
Member of Deerwood, actually. I'm kidding. I'm not even sure what Phil Garner's up to these days. Why not go Phil Garner?
Because it's past him.
I'm kidding. If you can only eat one meal for the rest of your life, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, what would it be? This is easy for me.
What is it? Dinner. The same thing. I get it.
You only get one meal, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I would say the same thing. I would say dinner.
Actually, he might have meant that different. He said, if you can only eat one meal for the rest of your life, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, what would it be? So I don't know if he means the same thing every day or if he means only one meal.
I think he makes one entree.
For every. Okay. I would go barbacoa tacos for breakfast.
No, you get one. That's it. For breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Just one. You have to eat it for all three meals.
Hmm. Okay. I'll just go steak, I guess. Steak and eggs. That way I'd be super healthy and it'd taste good all the time.
I'm going to go fajitas because you could kind of...
That's not bad.
You can mix up with the ingredients and you can actually make yourself a side salad if you had to.
Yeah, that's not bad at all. Who would you like to have in the next decade, Tucker or Yordan?
Ooh. Yordan.
I'll go Tucker. I think Tucker's more complete. And on our Father's Day, would you rather be able to pick your kid's height or IQ?
I don't care about how tall they are. If they're smart, it's great.
IQ. Easy. Yeah. IQ, easy. Ninfas or Irmas?
Ooh. Irmas.
Valencia's for me. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. Caitlin Clark is Cody Rhodes. What? Don't worry. I'll tell you. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
Caitlin Clark is Cody Rhodes. What? What do you mean? What are you talking about? Cody Rhodes, the son of Dusty Rhodes. I guess he's the grandson of a plumber. Yeah, Cody Rhodes, a wrestler. He was the guy who won WrestleMania. I'm kind of a casual wrestler fan.
He's the WWE champion currently.
He was the bad guy forever.
No, not really. So he's the son of Dusty Rhodes, legendary, you know, wrestler back in the day. The what do they call him? The American Dream.
Dusty Rhodes was the American Dream, and Cody's the American Nightmare.
Very popular father, Dusty Rhodes, or Cody Rhodes in this case, came up under his dad. Was in WWE. He left, went to a rival company, made a name for himself there, came back. And his one mission in life was to finish his story, to win the title for his old man who had never won the title. You know how long it took him to win the title? It took 2 years. 2 years to win the title. He had adversity along the way. He had challenges along the way. People didn't love seeing him lose the title. Oh, we got to get it for Cody. We want Cody. All these things. This is basically Caitlin Clark. Like, Caitlin Clark comes in the WNBA. And when does she have fame? When does she have notoriety? When do everybody on Twitter like start to look at Caitlin Clark and be like, oh, look at all these bad things that they're doing to Caitlin Clark? When there's adversity, when they're knocking her down. This happened this past week. Angel Reese, flagrant foul, upside the head. Probably a basketball play. I don't know if it's a basketball play. I like the drama, quite frankly. Like, when do we care about the WNBA? When there's adversity. When there is drama. Same thing with Cody Rhodes. We cared about his finishing the story, winning the title. When there's adversity, when there's drama. You know what happens when Caitlin Clark scores 5 points in a game and there's no drama in the game? No one cares. No one notices. It's a tree that falls down in the forest. You know what happens when there's adversity and she gets hit upside the face? Everybody is talking about it. Everybody is yelling, oh, can you believe this? Can you? All these terrible things. So where's the comparison between Caitlin Clark and Cody Rhodes? Well, Cody Rhodes always had to have a nemesis, right? For him to finish his story and to talk about this great story and him ultimately reaching his dream, what did he have along the way? He had nemesis. He had bad guys. He had people that he had to overcome and beat whenever it seemed like it was daunting and he was never going to be able to do it. It's the same thing with Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark has to get over all of these, you know, fouls or the other WNBA players treating her poorly or Kennedy Carter giving her a little bit of a shoulder check or Angel Reese hitting her alongside the head. The Caitlin Clark drama and adversity is actually good for the sport. Like everybody, oh, they need to protect the Golden Goose. No, they don't. No one cares when Caitlin Clark puts together a nothing burger and there's not drama. You know when they care? When there's adversity, when there's drama, when there's storyline, when there's entertainment, when there's a foe, when there's a rival, when there's somebody that she needs to beat. And I'm not saying the WNBA is like, you know, scripting the storyline for Caitlin Clark, but the fact that she has rivals, the fact that she has people who want to take her head off, the fact that she has people that don't like her very much is good for the sport.
Well, there's no doubt that it's drawing attention to the sport. Is Cody Rhodes good at wrestling?
I mean, the performances good. Are
I know, I'm just saying.
Scripted, yes.
To make with the comparison.
Yes, I mean, he's a champion.
I mean, what people overlook is Caitlin had 23, 9, and 8 yesterday. She can play the game of basketball. She's good at what she does. But there's no doubt that as much as even Angel Reese complained and everybody else jumped on the bandwagon, current players and past players, oh, now all y'all in the media are going to replay this highlight clip 25 times. It's to your benefit. It's to the sport. It's to the WNBA's benefit because it continues. These kind of things and these highlights are the main thing that's driving all this extra attention to the league. And so the minute it happened, I was like, oh, here it goes. Now everybody's going to be replaying this clip from social media to SportsCenter over and over for the next 24 to 48. It's going to be a big deal. And Lisa and I were talking about it, and I was like, I don't know if they're looking for the next opportunity to knock her down so they can continue. and they're just going to keep steamrolling these things, or if they're going to try and tell me that these are all just incidental contact that just happened during the course of the game. Because you can make that kind of block, and you could do it purposely.
Yeah, I mean, I don't
know. To catch her in the dome.
I think it could have been either one. It could have been she was trying to hit her, send a message. It could have been that she was going for the ball and missed. Like, I don't know. Like, I have no idea. Only Angel Reese knows.
Mm-hmm.
Only Angel Reese knows.
But there's no love lost between the two teams either.
No, but it's also entertaining. Like, it is the entertainment value of the sport. Same thing with, like, Cody Rhodes, and he had his adversaries. He had his foes. He had to beat Roman Reigns. Like, Caitlin Clark needs to beat Angel Reese. But whenever there is drama and whenever there is intrigue is what's going to get us to pay attention. It's the Kennedy Carter thing from 2 weeks ago. Kennedy Carter gave her a little bit of a shoulder check. Should she have done it? No. Was it Bush League? Yes. Should she have, like, flailed to the floor? Probably not. Was it way bigger a deal on social media and these talk hosts that aren't even sports? Yes. It wasn't that big a deal. And everybody was talking about it. Everybody was dialed in. It was doing numbers, impressions, engagements, all of those things. The very next night, I think they're playing a back-to-back or two nights later, she scored 6 points. No one ho-hum, messed with her, ho-hum, not even a story, not even a topic of conversation. So, like, everybody's saying that they need to protect the Golden Goose, that they have to protect Caitlin Clark. I see Clay Travis trying to make the comparison with Tiger Woods. Well, they embraced Tiger Woods. They made Tiger Woods one of them. That way, Tiger Woods could be the guy that raising tides lifts all boats, all of that. But it's different in a team sport, and it's different whenever you're going head-to-head and not playing the golf course, because the only time that people are talking about the WNBA is when there is conflict, and conflict is good. For Cody Rhodes to finish his story, he needed conflict. He needed a carrot at the end of the day to chase. Caitlin Clark chasing, whether it's a championship, whether it's a good WNBA career, whether it's being better than Angel Reese, whatever she is chasing. But what makes a story better? Conflict. What else makes a story better? An antagonist to the protagonist. So, like, protecting the Golden Goose makes no sense. There needs to be intrigue. There needs to be a rival for Caitlin Clark. And right now, there's a lot of rivals for Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, you're right. Because the unfortunate thing is that, you know, you're not going to talk about the quality of basketball that's being played, especially by those two teams, because they both suck. So, you know, the WNBA, whether any of it's intentional or not,
Does anybody even know those teams suck? Quite frankly, do they? Does anybody know? Does anybody, like, does the majority of sport fans know that she plays for the Fever? The Angel Reese, I think, plays for the Chicago Sky.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have known those two team names, quite frankly. Like, I'll just throw it out there. I would not have known that they were the Fever or the Sky prior to the start of the year.
Same.
I wouldn't have known who the Sky were until 2 weeks ago when Kennedy Carter bumped Caitlin Clark to the floor. I wouldn't have known that they were the Fever until they drafted Caitlin Clark. So again, intrigue, drama, rivals combating each other. It tells a better story. And quite frankly, we look to sports to be entertained. So the better the story, the better the entertainment. I would say that a casual sports fan, probably not fans of the WNBA, there's a few diehards. The casual fans have no idea if the Indiana Fever or the Chicago Sky are very good. They want to be entertained by a few tweets that show them going toe-to-toe and staring at each other and, like, talking a little trash.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I mean, and the fact that this is a rivalry that has carried over from college, and there was the whole Angel Reese with the ring on her finger, and what was Caitlin's, the you can't see me, which is a wrestling move, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, just a taunt from John Cena.
Yeah, so, I mean, that kind of caught people's attention already. So the fact that it's these two teams and those two individuals also add a ton of extra to it, so that people, there's a chance that people at least know that, so they're more dialed into it. But yeah, I think you're right about that. I think that it's not about the WNBA and the quality of basketball and the players in the league. Or the only reason why most people are talking about the WNBA is because of the fact that there is drama and violence.
5273, why should I care about Caitlin Clark? Was she good in college? Sure, but why the hype on a terrible WNBA player? I don't think she's terrible.
I don't either.
But she's probably the only reason that you're paying attention to the WNBA is because there is storyline now in the WNBA. 7218, ask Lance to do a Dusty Rhodes impression. Spot on and hilarious.
What is one thing we know about the WNBA that just started happening this year? Them flying private. Why did
is that actually true? I don't even know if that's actually true.
Well, that was what was
reported. Well, the Fever are for sure. It was supposed to be, they were trying for years to make it a league-wide mandate, and there was pushback and there was hesitation, and I think it's done this year.
Okay.
But why does that happen? Because there's
intrigue.
Right, there's increased interest in the league. Exactly, more money coming in.
Like, if Caitlin Clark, Like, I don't know how much WNBA you watch, Blankers, but if Caitlin Clark didn't get knocked to the ground yesterday by Angel Reese, let's say they didn't play a game.
Would not have known they played.
Me either. I would not have known that the WNBA, I know that they're in season. I know there's actually games that are going on. But what have I told you the winner? No. I don't even know who won that game. You just told me Caitlin Clark's stat line.
Indiana won.
Like, cool. But like, what was the storyline of that game? Angel Reese knocking Caitlin Clark to the ground. And whatever you have to do to sell the sport's going to make the sport better. That's why the whole race stuff is stupid. The pretty privilege is stupid, quite frankly. But the protect the golden goose thing, what do you expect them to do? Like, you expect them to just be like, here you go, Caitlin Clark, here's a layup. But on top of that, Caitlin Clark scoring 30 points isn't going to move the needle. Caitlin Clark getting knocked to her tail by Angel Reese will. So let them go at it. It is better for eyes to your sport.
Well, the ironic thing, too, was I think it was after the game because Indiana won. It was Caitlin Clark and it was one of her teammates next to her. And they asked the question, what does it feel, or how do you feel about playing in front of 22,000 fans and in NBA arenas instead of WNBA? And she goes, it's Caitlin's fault.
But I'm okay with that.
Right. But
there needs to be a heel. There needs to be a bad guy.
She says fault, kiddingly, tongue in cheek, but at the same time, she knows exactly why they're doing it. At least she's owning it.
But every story has a good guy. Every story has a bad guy. And quite frankly, depending on like your point of view on this, the bad guy might be Caitlin Clark, depending on one's view for this. And I'm not going to tell people how to fan. But a lot of people are going to view this and be like, Caitlin Clark is the one that's getting all of this attention when she hasn't earned it. She hasn't deserved it. She's getting privilege, pretty privilege. Like, so from some people's point of view, Caitlin Clark is the bad guy, and like Angel Reese and Kennedy Carter are the good guys. But it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter as long as people are hooked. People are buying in. And the protect the golden goose thing where they allow Caitlin Clark to score 25 points, that's not going to get buy-in. That's not going to get viewers. Caitlin Clark getting knocked on her tail might. Maybe not, you know, quite to it. I'm like at a 3 now. I'm getting closer and closer to watching a WNBA game. Closer and closer. I'm still at a 3, but I'm getting closer. Why? Because Caitlin Clark's getting knocked to the floor.
Well, I think that there are people that got enamored with her scoring in college that have said, and I've seen it, and I've actually seen it on Facebook and talked to people, too, that said, hey, it was on national TV. Caitlin Clark was playing. I watched because I wanted to see how many points she'd get. So I think that she can get some eyeballs from scoring points because she's not Jeremy Lin. She's not horrible just catching lightning in a bottle for a small period of time that's getting national attention. But at the same time, they wouldn't have any of this attention but just a scratch of the surface to what they've gotten if there wasn't all the violence and the drama.
Yeah, I rather have the violence and the drama. Now, when this stuff happens, I like seeing it on Twitter. Not going to watch a WNBA game yet. A lot has to happen for me to get there. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Are you taking the Texans offense over any of the other teams that are ahead of them, according to some? 713-780-ESPN. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, guys, before we go to the break, I want to tell you a little bit about Bull Shirts. If you don't know who Bull Shirts are and what they do, and obviously the name says shirts, they do so much more. But the big thing with Bull Shirts is they've been in Houston doing business for decades and decades, and they're phenomenal at what they do, and they do so much more than just t-shirts. But let's just start with the fact that they've done t-shirts for some of the biggest sports teams in this city at the most important times of the year, which means if they trust them, you should too. And the fact is, they're local, so therefore, whatever they're doing for you, if something needs to be adjusted, fixed, a quantity needs to change, all those different things, they can do it fast, easy, and make sure they guarantee still the same delivery time to you, whereas other companies in other states and in other parts of the world are going to have a lot more difficulty trying to make any kind of changes. The versatility, the quality, the attention to detail, it's all about Bull Shirts. You can go to bull-shirts.com right now and see all the different ways they can help you. Let's just make it short and sweet. Besides t-shirts, they can do every kind of promotional item that you're looking for. You need some gift bags for a golf tournament. They got you. You need some tchotchkes for a business partner or some business clients that you want to take care of. They got you. Need a tent for a tailgate party or a golf tournament or a whole sponsorship. Gotcha. And they can put your logo on all of it, as well as all the t-shirts and other things too. If you got a family reunion coming up and you need shirts, that's who you go to. You got a golf tournament coming up, you need polos. Again, I recommend bull-shirts.com. I recommend that's where you go right now. Go shopping. Take a look. If you've got an event coming up, start planning now. And the best thing you can do for your own benefit and for your peace of mind, go to bull-shirts.com because they're going to take care of everything and they're going to get it right.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.